In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear Reverend Father, my dear seminarians, my dear people, this Sunday concludes our celebration of the great Easter octave. It's an initial crescendo in our celebration of the Paschal mystery, which will continue on for some weeks. We have reached a sort of plateau upon which we can gaze and contemplate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In a way, we are like the apostles and the early disciples of the Lord. We must have been overwhelmed and astounded by the great events which are commemorated and live spiritually in the Easter Triduum. Yes, the apostles may have been emotionally exhausted. On top of everything, they had to come to terms with the reality of the resurrection. They saw the Lord. Those of us closely involved in preparing and participating in the solemn ceremonies of the Triduum can perhaps experience a glimpse of this. And you will know that every day of the octave, there's a particular Mass, a particular liturgy, a gospel which indicates to us an appearance of the Lord after the resurrection. And on one occasion, the gospel relates that the disciples, they knew they had seen Jesus, they'd seen the Lord, but they didn't like to say so. It was like the elephant in the room. They knew our Lord had appeared to them, but they didn't say anything. It must have been an incredible experience for them. Jesus, our Savior, had been crucified and died and was buried, and now he'd been risen from the dead. It is a beautiful reality. The great mystery of our Lord's resurrection from the dead runs throughout the whole of Christianity like an endless seam of gold in a large rock surface. It is essential that we believe in the resurrection. Otherwise, our faith is in vain, as St. Paul tells us. On this point, it is noteworthy to read in today's Holy Gospel from St. John that one of the disciples had particular difficulties in accepting the reality of the resurrection, namely St. Thomas, poor Thomas, who's called Doubting Thomas. But he went on to do good in the end. He would not believe that our Lord had arisen and appeared to the other disciples unless he could personally put his finger in the holes made in our Lord's hands and put his hand in his pierced side, which were the wounds of his crucifixion and death. Our Lord, of course, made St. Thomas an example for us of not seeing him visibly, but yet believing in him. Faith. However, is it not interesting and perhaps frequently overlooked that when our Lord first of all met and greeted the disciples with the word peace, that he showed them his hands and his side, and this in the absence of Thomas. Of course, our Lord wanted to reassure them that it was indeed the Lord who stood before them, who had just passed through a solid door, and St. Gregory talks about that in today's Divine Office. However, perhaps this action also points towards a deeper meaning, especially if we examine it in conjunction with a sentence in the first letter of St. Peter. We actually read that epistle next Sunday, but it won't do any harm to have a little look at it this Sunday. Perhaps Peter, in writing the second chapter of his first letter, recalled the time when he saw the sacred wounds of our Lord after the resurrection and meditated upon them. Peter writes the following: Christ also suffered for us, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps, who didn't know sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile, when he suffered, he threatened not, but delivered himself to him that judged him unjustly, who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live to justice, by whose stripes you were healed. Sometimes stripes is translated as wounds, by whose wounds you were healed. This is a remarkable passage, is it not, my dear brethren, from St. Peter, relating to the innocence of our Lord, the sinless one, and what he suffered for the salvation of mankind. By his wounds, you have been healed. It has been pointed out by biblical commentators that this chapter from the first letter of Peter contains no less than 7 quotations from the prophet Isaiah. And the relevant ones I want to draw your attention today come from Isaiah chapter 53. There's just 2 of them I want you to think about. And they are: he was wounded for our iniquities, he was bruised for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his bruises we are healed. By his bruises we are healed. And the next one: and he shall give the ungodly for his burial, and the rich for his death, because he hath done no iniquity, neither was there deceit in his mouth. Neither was there deceit in his mouth. It is clear that the prophecy of Isaiah concerning a suffering Messiah being sent to the house of Israel and ultimately to the whole world had been fulfilled. Peter saw this, the apostles saw this. Even St. Thomas had to recognize the reality of Christ's resurrection, which pointed towards Christ's divinity. And of course, Thomas exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." In a nutshell, Christ our Lord and the Gospel held out before the eyes of his apostles, the first bishops and the first pope, his sacred wounds which healed humanity. The price of our redemption, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. This is something which you should always remember and treasure in our hearts. It is by the sacred wounds of Christ that we are healed. My dear brethren, how often do we look at a crucifix each day? How often do we actually look at the crucifix? How often do we look at the 5 wounds of our Lord and the wounds of his sacred head? How often do we declare our faith in his love and his power to heal and save us, obtained at a very great price? Christ shows his sacred wounds to us as he did to the disciples. Let us be filled with gratitude, awe, and amazement at our Lord. Let us be reassured by his peace and his power to heal and save. Let us renew our faith in God and place our trust in his divine mercy. Let us not doubt the power of his mercy, which will help and sustain us in the joys and sorrows of the Christian life. For our own wounds and struggles can be glorified if we unite them to the wounds and struggles of Jesus. May the resurrection of our Lord continue to give us hope and strength, and to strengthen our faith in the Lord. Let us repeat the words which we hear on Good Friday. We adore you, Christ, O Lord, we praise and glorify your holy resurrection. For behold, because of the wood of a tree, joy has come to the whole world. By his wounds, we have been healed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.